So I thought we would discuss some ideas about Lima Torah, what Lima Torah is about, what it's supposed to, how it's supposed to affect us, what experience we're supposed to having with Lima Torah. And I want to say over some ideas, mostly with an emphasis on things that that Rav Soloveitchik, the Rav Zatzal, developed, and also if we have a chance, and from examples from his own life. The Rav was fascinating. The Rav was, they say, his Talmidim, his family, was a shy person, but in his public speeches, he would talk about himself, very personal, like revealing things about himself, and it was inspirational to hear. So let's begin. A person is supposed to enjoy learning Torah. Simple in learning. There's the famous comment, the introduction of the Egel Tal. When you learn Hilchos Shabbos, especially learn Hilchos Shabbos Be'iyun, everyone uses the Egel Tal. It's the classic sefer when you go through the Melachos. Devin Sal Shlita, speaking of our Gedolim trip, every day, he loves the Egel Tal, and he writes in his Svarim that when you learn Torah in general, Mitzvah Talmud Torah. He says when you learn the Egel Tal on Shabbos, it's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah and a mitzvah of Onik Shabbos. That's a madriga, and that fits with this year today, but that's a madriga to get to, that the mamash it adds to a Shabbos, to learn the Egoita. So in the Haftama, somebody asked him a question. He said, when I learn, I enjoy my learning. And we know the highest level is to do mitzvos, lishma. Lishma means Hashem, because Hashem commanded, with no ulterior motives. So if I enjoy my learning, maybe that takes away from the lishma. Now the truth is, the question there is asked more sharply than that, but okay, just if you look it up inside. But that's the part of what the question is. So maybe it takes away if I enjoy my learning. So the Egel Tal answer, no, just the opposite. Just the opposite. It's not that there's a mitzvah to learn and then the enjoyment's a side enjoyment, like you're getting hanah from the learning, it takes away. No. Enjoying the learning is part of the mitzvah. It's part of the mitzvah of learning is enjoying the learning. And therefore, when you enjoy it, that's not a separate thing. Oh, the hana lowers my fulfillment because now it's not lishma. No, that enjoyment is part of the mitzvah itself. You're fulfilling the mitzvah even better. So I'm learning Torah, l'shem shemayim, and I'm enjoying the learning. Part of my lishma, l'shem shemayim, and that's part of the mitzvah itself. We say it every day. We ask Hashem in Birchas HaTorah. Hashem, make the Torah sweet and pleasant. A person is supposed to enjoy his learning. I listen a lot to my Rebbe Rav Shechter Shlita on tape. So every couple of shears, he quotes a sefer, he quotes a Dvar Torah, and he says, very cheerful Dvar Torah. He used the word cheerful. So it struck me recently, this is the pshat, I think. This is the pshat. Cheerful. A nice Dvar Torah cheers you up. It makes him happy. It's an interesting word to use. He uses every couple of shears. Cheerful. Cheerful sefer. And we have it here in... with Rav Chizkiya Nevin Sal Shlita, you go up and talk to Rav Chizkiya. You tell him a nice vort or a nice kasha. So when it's good, what's the answer when it's good? He goes, Sheila misamachat. Ze misameach. That's the word he uses. And you see, that's this. He enjoys the learning. The question makes him happy. This is a madrega to get to. Not all of us always are there yet. So if you're there, thank Hashem that you're there. If you're not there yet, so you daven. You ask Hashem, v'harivna, have kavan and birchas haTorah in the morning. What the words mean. Hashem, help me enjoy my learning. Keep on learning, rak Torah. And then and Hashem will help you enjoy the learning more. You're supposed to enjoy your learning. Okay. So what's the pshat that you're supposed to enjoy your learning? Yeah. But also the learning makes you happy. Kikudei Hashem, Yishrayim, v'sam kariv. Learning is supposed to make you happy. Learning makes you happy. So what exactly is the mechanism that learning makes you happy? You enjoy it, makes you happy. So there's a pshat, could be it's the pashut pshat. I never thought of it exactly in this way until I heard Rav Shechter say 2 weeks ago in a parsha shir, 5 minutes. And then I look back, and this happens a lot. Whenever Rav Shechter says something, first I look in his svarim. He has 3 books on the Rav. And very often, things he says in the shir is somewhere in one of his svarim. And then I start looking around in the Rav's writings. And very often, either the Rav said it already, or the Rav hinted to it. So here's an example. We'll develop now in a few minutes a pshat, the idea that learning makes you happy, like that the learning generates simcha in a person. That's what it's supposed to happen. So what exactly is the mechanism? Okay. So there's a yesod, which is in Chazal, which the Rav developed and discussed a lot. As you asked a few sources here, there are more. Over Shabbos, I just kept finding more and more and more. It's all over the place. And this is not a complete list. But the Rav spoke about that when you learn Torah, you're having a meeting, a rendezvous with the Shekhinah. When you're learning Torah, it's like you're meeting the Shekhinah. Well, you see the word, the word meeting. He uses the word date. A date with the Shekhinah. You're meeting with the Shekhinah. He said, well, see, it's like a revelation. It's like you're experiencing Matan Torah again. Mamash, seeing the Shekhinah right in front of you. And there are many, many Makoros that reflect this, that fit with this, that say this. So number one, we all know that when you daven, so that's called Avodah Shebelev. The Torah says, Lo'avdo b'chol v'avchem, serve Hashem with all your heart. Ezo tfilosh, ezo Avodah Shebelev, you do work with your hands. The Gemara says, Lo'avdo the ezo zu tfilah. That's what everyone knows. That's what everyone says. The Rambam, in the Sefer HaMitzvos, quotes in the Sifri, that Lo'avdo b'chol v'avchem means tfilah, and it says also Torah as well. The Rambam says it. It's amazing. The Rambam makes an equation that just like davening is Avodah Shebelev, learning is Avodah Shebelev. You experience it in your heart. We'll see the example. We'll see the words more. The Rav will bring it to life. It's not just your learning. You experience it when you daven, not just saying the words. You experience the davening in your heart. You feel this connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rambam says, this is an early, early, powerful source, that the learning is supposed to have this Avodah Shebelev. You're connecting to Hashem through your heart when you learn. Very powerful source. This is why, this is one of the reasons why the Rav points out, the Gemara says in Brachos Daf Ches, there's an inyan to dive in the same place where you learn. Because they're both Avodah Shebelev. So you're learning and learning in a Beis Medrash, and you're connecting to Hashem through your learning, and then davening is the ultimate Avodah Shebelev. So there's an inyan, ideally, a lot of us do this in yeshiva, you're supposed to daven where you learn. Because it's two experiences that work together. That's the Gemara says in Daf Ches. In Brachos, the Rav quotes, I heard a Wittgenstein speak to quote that a few times. It's a very important idea. That's why you're supposed to learn where you daven, one reason. Because there are two parts of the same coin, two sides of the same coin. Connecting to Hashem with my heart. Very powerful idea. Okay. The Rav quoted a lot. Source number three. These first sources, there's a wonderful sefer called Drashot HaRav, written up some of his essays, some of his speeches, written up some of these essays that are written up. I'm hearing them now in English because they just put them up in English now, and it's, for me, it's fabulous. Talk about simcha, because I've read these drushes, and I've had the words in my head for many years, and to hear the Rav say what I've seen in the books like 20, 30 years ago was so exciting to hear. And the quality is pretty good. Anyway, whatever. Okay. I'll be sending out some of them. We'll add on to the list. Some parts of it. The Gemara compares learning Torah to Maimon Har Sinai. Source number three. It's in Brachos Daf Kaf Beis. It says, "Vodat ulabenecha bnei benecha yomer shemad pnei Hashem akachah b'chorev ma'al ha'alan be'emar v'yir b'esiv v'zeah afkan." When you learn Torah, the experience of I'm trembling in front of Maimon Har Sinai. You're supposed to have that experience. And the awe when, at Maimon Har Sinai, the tremendous inspiration that you had when you Maimon Har Sinai, a Jew is supposed to feel that when they learn Torah. It's amazing. Chazal make an equation between learning Torah and the experience of Maimon Har Sinai. Very powerful sources here. So this is Lima Torah. Lima Torah is a person is meeting with the Shekhinah. We'll see the word a rendezvous, a date with the Shekhinah. When you learn Torah, you're connecting with the Dvar Hashem, with the Shekhinah, and you're re-experiencing Maimon Har Sinai. And this is one major element, according to the Chazal, of Talmud Torah. So the Rav experienced this, and he would talk about it a lot. This experience. That when he's learning Torah, he felt the Shekhinah. He was confronting the Shekhinah. Page 3, the third page, source number 4, Rabbi Rakefet Shlita, one of the Rav's close Talmidim, wrote a two-volume book on the Rav, two volumes, very good to read, was he took some of the Rav's speeches and published them in English. Came out word for word. So your mama's hearing the Rav talk, and then you hear the speech, it came out word for word. So look here, source number 4. in the third page. There are times when I learn Torah very late at night. As well known, the night is especially beneficial for the study of Torah. The Torah we master at night is clearer and sharper in our minds. There are times at night when I feel as if someone, the Shechina, is standing behind me, bending himself to look over my shoulder to peer into the Talmudic text at the topic I am studying at that moment. At times he nods his head in agreement with the explanation I'm attempting to develop. If I have been able to survive what has happened to me during the past 3 years, since my wife died, it is only because I relate to the principle of Torah from heaven, not merely as an article of faith, but as a living and tangible reality. The Rav experienced the Shechina when he learned. He felt this connection to the Shechina when he was sitting learning, that the Shechina is peering over his shoulder. Well, then maybe the most famous example of this, and this Bezrat Hashem we'll hear later, I'm going to play part of this tape, Bezrat Hashem. This is the second page, sources 5 and 5a. This was a world-famous speech the Rav gave. It's famous for this. It's more famous for the second half, not the part we're going to be listening to. But this was like the Rav's introduction to a very famous speech he once gave. Okay. So the Rav writes here. He said, I'll just read a small part of it. Mitzvah, we'll hear some of this later. He says, my credo regarding the Torah and the way of Torah should be taught is based upon the Torah itself. I've been with Shiva, a teacher of Talmud, all my life, made it part of my adult life. I have taught many, many people. When I teach, time comes to a stop for me. I don't look at the timepiece, the clock, or my wristwatch. I just teach. When I teach Torah, guys, don't forget this phrase. This is the phrase. Don't forget this phrase. You'll hear the Rav say it later. When I teach Torah, I feel the breath of eternity on my face. Even now in my old age, teaching Torah and giving shiurim relieves me of the fear of death. When I teach Torah, I feel rejuvenated, as if I were 25 or 30 years old, etc. Skip down to the bottom, 5a, the bottom of the page. The cathartic impact on me of studying Torah is rooted in the wondrous experience I always have when I open up the Gemara. Some I would open up the Gemara either alone or when I'm in company, as when I teach others. I have the impression, do not call it hallucination, as if I hear, so to say, the soft footsteps of somebody invisible. He comes in and sits down with me. Sometimes look over my shoulders. It is a simple idea, not mystical at all. Our sages already stated that the presence of Hashem dwells amongst those who learn Torah. And he quotes the Psukim. Oh, and then the Rav goes on to say, therefore, the next column, the study of Torah has never been simply a form of religious duty that mandates an intellectual act or performance. The satisfaction I derive from it is much more than the fulfillment of mitzvah alone. Rather, skip to number 6, the bottom. There is no doubt that the intellect plays a tremendous role in the study of Torah. However, this study is more than simply an intellectual performance. It is a total, all-encompassing, and all-embracing involvement of the mind and heart, will and feeling. That's what it should believe. This is what, when you learn Torah, you're supposed to get to this level where you're working. We'll see, it doesn't matter the level you're on. It doesn't matter how deep you go. That the Rav says explicitly somewhere else. You learn as the level that you can achieve with as much effort as possible. The study of Torah is basically, for me, an ecstatic experience. That's the phrase which I didn't notice till recently, in which one meets Hashem. And again, I want to say what I've told you is not mystical, mysticism. It is, but the Talmud expression is very idea. Our sages equate the study of Torah with revelation, the great event and drama of Hashem's revelation on Mount Sinai. This event is reenacted, restaged, relived every time a Jew opens this Talmud. When you're learning, you're meeting this, we're going to hear the Rav say this, it's very powerful. You're meeting the Shechina. You're meeting the Shechina. The Shechina is there. So when a person learns, they're having this connection, this meeting with the Shechina. Now, the Rav said more than this. On the next page, on page 3, they've begun publishing a lot of books with the Rav's writings in it. This one's called, the book called Family Redeemed. A lot of books have been coming out the last couple of years, and they're good to have, very good to have. And the Rav discussed sources 7 through 10, through 9b, this idea that when you learn, you're meeting the Shechina. And the Rav said as follows, that when a person learns, he's discussing the idea of Tviyas Itim L'Torah. Very interesting. Supposed to learn Torah. But there's a special vort in Chazal to be koveya, eating, set aside time. This is my time for learning. Set aside time for learning. And it's preferable, it says in the Sfarim, that if it's the same time every day. It's not always possible. It's preferable the same time every day. So why this emphasis on kviyas itim l'Torah? That there's a set time I have to learn. So the Rav said, this is the pshat. Because when you learn, it's like you have a date with the Shechina. You have a date with the Shechina. If you have a date with HaKadosh Baruch, you don't break the dates. This is kviyas itim l'Torah. When you're learning, that's what the Rav said. The Jew has a rendezvous with the Torah. Maimonides places enormous, number seven, emphasis upon the sanctity of this rendezvous, the significance of keeping the engagement. Neither pain or hunger, abject poverty, can break the engagement with the Torah. Why? Why is it important that the Jew have an engagement with the Torah? It is self-evident that the halachic emphasis of a rendezvous with the Torah and the significance of punctuality is because someone else who trails behind the Torah, namely the Shechina. Hashem never separated himself, herself, from his daughter, the Torah. Hashem accompanies the Torah wherever it goes. So this is the pshat, the mitzvah of ha'ot. So this is the pshat when you're learning. You have this date, a rendezvous with Hashem. You can't break that meeting you have with Hashem. That's what Kiviyas Itim Torah is about. Then the Rav says it again, 8a. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah begins as an intellectual activity which requires exertion, concentration, absorption, a trained logical mind. It starts with the intellect. However, once activity is initiated, it turns into a great total experience. Again, total experience means avodah shebelev, meaning the Shechina. Having a rendezvous with Hashem, knowledge alone at first very much desired does not satisfy anymore. He is in love with the Shechina. Then the Rav goes on to say, this is why the Iker in Talmud Torah is the effort more than the results. The person is a big genius, he gets to the highest levels, and the big Chakir is very wonderful. Some people, they can't do all of that. But if the point is the confronting the Shechina, and getting close, and you have that date with the Shechina, so I put the work in, I'm here, I'm learning, Hashem's here listening, and you struggle, and you start sweating, at any level you're at, that's deepening this date with the Shechina. The process of learning is esoteric and exoteric. So on the bottom here, they have an editor's note, that's for me. Esoteric means restricted to a small group, and exoteric means open to the public. All right. At the esoteric, for the small group, the brilliant mind accomplishes the most. Well, however, upon the second aspect of Talmud Torah, as a rendezvous with the Shechina, as a meeting with Hashem, the act of Talmud Torah becomes exoteric, completely democratized. Well, the feeling of the presence of the Shechina is determined not by accomplishment, by the effort. The act itself is redemptive, hallowing, and inspiring. The study of Torah's centrality has been assigned to the effort. The results of are of marginal influence. This is the Rav talking, one of the greatest minds of the century. The Rav would say over a medrash, which Rav Schechter writes, he hasn't found the medrash. That's why he writes in a sefer that the Rav set up shot based on the he's very careful, based on a medrash. Because he couldn't find the medrash. It's a beautiful mushel that there was a good king, and he was a very wonderful king, and he came to his town, and he said, listen, townspeople, I have barrels here, 50 barrels, and they're near the river, and there's a big barrel, like 200 feet from the river. So I want you to take the small barrels and go to the river, fill them up, and bring the water to the big barrel. Good. So he leaves, and I'll give you a big reward when you're done. So everyone starts. They start doing this, and they go to the small barrels, to the river, pick it up. There are holes in the barrels. So as they're walking to the big barrel, all the water's coming out. By the time they get to the big barrel, they pour it in, 2 drops. The king said to do it, so they're doing it, 2 drops, 2 drops. Oy, nebuch. So over time, they stop. Because what's the point? The king must have made a mistake. You know, we'll never fill the big barrel this way. So most of them, after an hour or two, they're stopping. And there are two guys who, these two guys, for 6, 7, 8 hours, they slave and the king said do it, they do it. They do the barrel, they fill it up, carry it to the big barrel. So what happens? King comes back. No one did the job except for those two. They said, King, wonderful King, the barrels have holes in them. He said, no, I told you to fill up the small barrels and carry them to the big barrel I didn't want the big barrel filled up. I wanted the small barrels cleaned. That's the medrash. That's the mashal. The nimshal is when you're learning, and that's the idea of the effort, when you're learning and you're struggling with the pshat in the Gemara, or the pshat in the Rashi, or the pshat in the Tosfos, or the pshat in the Reb Chaim, you're struggling, the water is inside, cleaning you on the inside, back and forth. That's the Shechina on the inside cleaning you. The soap on the inside, the soap on the outside, soap on the inside. It's the inside, the Shechina is cleaning you. And that's a beautiful medrash. The Rav said over. That's this idea. You're confronting the Shechina, and therefore, it doesn't matter the level. It's the effort that counts. Very important ideas. Oh. So now, that's number one. Number two, there's a big yesod which the Rav always says over all the time, that in Yahad the simcha means being lifnei Hashem. Who says it? The Torah says it. Usmachtim lifnei Hashem elokeichem. The Torah says it 7 or 8 times. Look in Chumash Devarim. Look at the Korkandansia. Whenever you see the word simcha in the Torah, either right before or right after, you find the word lifnei Hashem. Why? The Rav said this is the pshat, that simcha means feeling your lifnei Hashem. That's why, for example, what's the happiest day of the year? One of the happiest days of the year, the Mishnah says, Yom Kippur. Why isn't Kippur a happy day? The Rav explained, Pashup Shat, Yom Kippur. Doing tshuva for your Averas, your Neshama's clean, your Tahor. So that's the simcha of Lifnei Hashem. After Chay to Egel, the Torah says, Bnei Yisrael Vayis Abalu. They were an Avelus. Interesting word. What are the Avelus? The Rav explained, when you're an Avelus, Avelus is a feeling of, I just lost something very special to me, very dear to me. Bnei Yisrael had lost their closeness to the Shechina. And that's why it says they were an Avelus. They were an Avelus over losing that feeling of being lifnei Hashem. Avelus is the opposite of simcha. So, Rav Shechter said, this is the Pashup Shah. I think it's the Pashup. This is the Pashup Shah. When you're learning Torah, you're confronting the Shechina. You're to date with the Shechina. You're mamash lifnei Hashem. And when you're lifnei Hashem, so then, that generates simcha. And that's what the Rav said. It's an ecstatic experience. I think this is not much the Pashup Shat. That when a person learns, and the Shechina is there, the Shechina is talking to you, the Shechina is here, then you have the simcha of this tremendous, I'm at Har Sinai. That's the greatest simcha. I think it's a Pashup Shat that the Rav Shechter said over. Oh. And I think maybe the Rav meant it as well, the phrase ecstatic experience. Okay, so now, this sheet that the Rav said, back to page 2, we're not at time for page 4. So this is a world-famous speech the Rav gave, and again, it's more famous because the Rav was responding to something in Torah politics, and he had something important to say, but he introduced it with this piece. So it takes around 7 minutes, and then Bez Hashem will stop. We're going to start from my credo. It's page 2, and it goes through most of the 2 columns. This is the Rav speaking to the Rabbinic alumni in 1975. The Rav was 72 years old.
What I'm going to say, I want you to understand, is my credo about Tere and the way Tere should be taught and Tere should be studied. Being a Rosh Yeshiva, a teacher of Talmud, a teacher all my life, at least the major part of my adult life, I have taught many, many people, and I don't know how many, but many people. And when I do teach, time comes to stop for me. I don't look at the timepiece, the clock, or at my wristwatch. I just teach. It is a very, I don't know, to me teaching has a tremendous, a very strange impact upon me. I simply feel when I do Twitch Theory, I feel the breath of eternity on my face. Even now when I am old, of course, certainly not young, teaching Torah, Shiurim, or teaching Torah, relieves me of the fear of death and of all the blues and depressive moments. which elderly people go through. When I do teach, I feel rejuvenated. And as if I were 25 or 30 years old. People don't know, I mean, again, please take it the proper spirit, I'm not bragging. You don't know how much, what my schedule is. They know I say sure I'm here. All right, fine, I say three times a week, I mean, the yeshiva. I mean, you know, the shurim, an hour and a half never happens, I should get through in an hour and a half in the shurim. So, 2 hours, and sometimes 3 hours, I mean, sometimes more than 3 hours. It's very strange, I mean, the boys you see in my class are very young, I mean, perhaps one third of my age, but they come out exhausted, I come out refreshed. After this year. Then I come into Boston, so every Friday morning from 8:30 for 3 hours until 11:30 I study with my son-in-law. Saturday, you believe me that I can't afford to take an effort Saturday morning. I haven't taken an effort Saturday morning for the last, I would say, 20 years now, because I study with my grandchildren. I study with Moshe 3 hours, please. And I study with Meir 2.5 hours. The same is Sunday and the same is Monday. I have no time sometimes to sit down and to relax. The study of Torah has had such a great cathartic impact upon me, as you understand it, and is rooted in the wondrous experience I always have when I open up the Gemara. Somehow, when I do open up the Gemara, either alone or when I am in company, so and I do teach others, I have the impression, don't call it hallucination, it's not an hallucination, I have the impression as if I heard, I would say, soft footsteps of somebody invisible who comes in and sits down with me, sometimes looking over my shoulder. It is simply the idea is, it's not a mystical idea. It is the Gemara, the Mishnah Noves, the Gemara in Brocheset, Hafili Yochit Vehisik Batera, the Shechina Shchuyo. And we all believe that the Nesin HaTera, the one who gave us the Tera, has never deserted the Tera. And he simply walks, he accompanies the Tera wherever the Tere has a, let's say, a rendezvous or an appointment, a date with somebody, he's there. Therefore, the study of Torah has never been for me a dry, formal, intellectual performance act. No matter how important a role the intellect plays, you know very well that I place very much, a great deal of emphasis upon the intellectual understanding and analysis of the world. You know that, I mean, this is actually what my grandfather, Chaim Broch, actually introduced. And you know, and I can tell you, and I told it so many times, and I tell it again, our methodology, our analysis, and our manner of conceptualizing and inferring and classifying and defining things, halachic matters, does not lag behind the most modern, I mean, philosophical analysis. I happen to know something about. We are far ahead of it. In the tools, the logical tools, the epistemological instruments which we employ In order to analyze a sugya, let us say, Cheska Sabbatim in Orves, or Shabbos, or the Kame, it doesn't matter. For the most modern, they're very interesting. A great share in there that I had my grandfather. But anyway, we avail ourselves of the most modern methods of understanding, of abstracting, of inferring, of classifying, defining, and so forth and so on. So there is no doubt that the intellect plays a tremendous role in limud HaTorah. However, Talmud Torah is more than intellectual performance. It is a total, all-encompassing, and all-embracing involvement. Mind and heart, will and feeling, the very center of the human personality. The emotional man, logical man, voluntaristic man, all of them are involved in the study of Torah. Talmud Torah is basically, for me, an ecstatic experience through which one meets God. And again, I want to say whatever I told you now is not just mysticism due to my mystical inclinations. It isn't so. The Gemara says so. Chazal have equated Talmud Torah with revelation. The great event, drama, Gilui Shchina, is reenacted and restaged and relived every time a Jew opens a Gemara.
All right, this is Talmud Torah, guys. You're supposed to enjoy your learning. You're confronting the Shchina. This is what we're doing here. It's the most powerful experience. If you enjoy it, great. If you don't enjoy it fully yet, so ask Hashem. Think about what we're doing. Ask, have Kavanah and Baharevna. And this is something that all of us, Mir Hashem, can work on to be inspired, to enjoy our learning, be excited about it, get into our learning. And again, the level doesn't matter. It's the effort that counts, the barrel being cleaned inside. The Shechina is cleaning us inside every time we're learning. We're confronting the Shechina. And we all should be zochet during this to appreciate what Limud Torah is all about. Okay, we'll stop here. Okay, good. I'll just tell you something. I thought there's a joke. I mentioned it already in Shia. I'll mention it again. This joke Rav Schechter now says over, and he said the Rav said over a couple of years. What's the joke? That the Rav would like to give the simplest shot. It could be the Yeso deep shot, but the simplest shot in things, as opposed to giving the fancy shot. So this shot of how learning brings you to Simcha, I really hold it's the, I'm not saying it's simple, but it's the most fundamental, straightforward. This is the shot that when you learn, you're meeting the Shechina. And being with Nei Hashem means what?
Simcha.
I hope it's not just a pashup shot. So if the boys would say a fancy pshat, the Rav would say, why are you saying a fancy pshat? Say the simple pshat. What was the famous joke the Rav said? I'll say it one more time. A Chassidish Rebbe was giving Torah. Lech lecha, me'aretzecha. It starts with two, instead of having two small chav sofits, regular chav sofits, it's two extra large chesses. How come the Torah starts with extra large chesses as opposed to two small chav sofits? And he starts saying Torah. So there's a misnagid in the crowd. There's always one misnagid. He says, Rebbe, in the Chumash, it says lechacha with two regular sized chav sofits. It's not two large chesses. So the Rebbe says, that's one shot. I'll give you another one. That's a good joke. That's a good joke. That's a very good... Anyway, so I hold this is the pashup shot about Torah bringing you simcha. I really do. It's the greatest thing. You're talking to Hashem, the Shechina. Doesn't matter the level you're on. If you're struggling to figure out Gemara Rashi, you're being cleaned on the inside. You're connecting with the Shechina. If you're trying to analyze Tanakh well, you're confronting the Shechina. It's an amazing, powerful. Now, the next page that we're not going to do now, the Rav described himself as a kid. This was in a book, so he didn't say it. It's not on tape anywhere. How he felt as a child. And who was the Rav's best friend as a child? Who was his best friend? Anyone know his name? Anyone know his name? Who was Rav's best friend as a child? He said one of his only friends. Not close. The Rambam. And we're going to read about that. We'll do it on Tuesday. The Rav said that his best friend as a child was the Rambam. And we will read about it. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. The Rav's childhood was a little different than ours. You know when you're little and your mom says go to sleep or your parents says go to sleep and you want to keep on reading? So, you know, you'll read like the sporting news or something, you know, under the covers with a flashlight or something. So the Rav would read under his blanket the Minchas Chinuch after his Rav's mother sent to go to sleep. And the Rav said that he finished the Minchas Chinuch before his bar mitzvah. As I've shared it, that's quite a feat. The Minchas Chinuch, you have to know Shas to read the Minchas Chinuch. You have to know Shas because he quotes Gemara's Rambams. So that was the Rav's background. It's a little different than ours. I don't know, but he finished Minchas Chinuch. So I have to thank Ariel. He showed me a Rashi on Pirkei Avos. Rashi Mevar Tanur. Rashi. It says, Aseh lecha Rav uknei lecha chaver. Rashi says, what does chaver mean? Svarim. So I looked around in the Achronim, so what's the pshat? So some say, it says knei. It costs money to buy svarim. That's what some of the mefarshim say. I looked in the... Okay, so you see svarim. So you see an amazing thing that your svarim should be your friend. Guys, this is a madriga to get to. That you enjoy learning. And if you're connected with your svarim, that you're friends. A couple of years ago, Mishpacha magazine, they had a series. They did 1 week on Rav Yashiv and 1 week on the Gered, 1 week on Rav Adya.
A whole week on Abulai?
No. They had a special article.
Do you have it?
I think I have it at home somewhere. And they wrote that Rav Adya was at a wedding and he was Masada Kedushin, and after the wedding, he had to go home. He said, I'm in a rush to go home. I said, why? He said, my friends are waiting for me. He said, your friends? They said, your friends? And he said, yes. He said, my friends? He said, yes. He said, the Rashba, the Ritva. It's amazing. Mamish pshat in the Mishnah. Literally. So, your svarim are your friends. Even higher than that, you get to the level where when you learn, like, they're your friends, and you feel like, you feel like they're alive. They're here with you. And this is something which the Rav would speak about. He would speak about this idea. And many times, early in life, late in life, he felt like the Rishonim and the Achronim were with him. We heard the tape of the Rav, right? When, as an old man, when people walk in, when he's giving shir, that everyone walks into the room. Right, we heard that tape. So this is one of the most famous pieces. This you won't find a recording of, because this the Rav wrote in a sefer called Uvikashta Misham. It's one of the most powerful things you're ever going to read. We're going to read it together now. Let me stress the idea of the Masar by telling you a personal story. I remember that when I was growing up, I was a frightened and lonely boy. I was afraid of the world. For me, the world was a cold and strange place. I imagine everyone was mocking me. But I had one friend. Do not laugh at me. It was the Rambam. Sorry. How did we become friends? Simply, we met. Rambam was a constant guest in our home. During the days when my father was a newlywed, supported by my grandfather, the Gaon, the pious Gaon Rabbi Yo Feinstein of Pruzhina, father studied Torah day and night. A small group of outstanding young scholars gathered around him and eagerly absorbed his teachings. My father studied with his disciples in the room where my bed was located. My want was to sit on my bed and listen to my father's words. He constantly quoted the Rambam. His method was to first open the Gemara and analyze the text under discussion and the relevant commentaries. He would generally say, these are the explanations of the Ri and the other Bali Tosfos. Now let us analyze the explanation of the Rambam. My father would inevitably discover the Rambam rejected the basic explanation of the text and differed with Tosfos. My father would declare, as if to complain, we cannot comprehend their approach and conclusion of the Rambam towards the Talmudic text. It was almost as if my father was directly saying to the Rambam, Rabbi Namosha, why have you taken this approach? My father would continue. At first glance, the Ravid is correct in his criticism of the Mishnah Torah.
The students were jumping forward and each would express his thoughts. My father would carefully listen, but would refute their proposed interpretations. Once again, he would exclaim that the words of the Rambam were incomprehensible. Nevertheless, my father would not give up. He would place his head on his hand and soon be engrossed in deep thought. The students would not disturb his thought process. Finally, my father would gradually lift his head and begin to expound the true meaning of the Rambam. Sometimes he would be lengthy, in other cases brief. I would strain my ears to catch my father's every word. In my young and impressionable mind, there developed a dual impression. First, that the Rambam was being attacked by enemies who wanted to hurt him. And second, that the Rambam's only defender was my father. Wow. I felt strongly that without my father, who knows what happened to the Rambam. It was as if the Rambam himself were with us in the room, listening to my father's words. The Rambam sat next to me on my bed. What did he look like? I don't know exactly. He seemed to look like an exceedingly handsome and good father. His name was also Moshe, just like my father. Intensely following my father, the students absorbed his every word. Slowly but surely, the tension evaporated. My father continued his discourse with strength and courage. New ideas were clarified. The halachos under discussion were classified and carefully articulated. A new light emerged. The questions were resolved and the topic properly explained. Rambam emerged triumphant. And my father's face was filled with happiness and delight. He had defended his friend, the Rambam. The Rambam was comforted and smiled. Notice, 65 years later, what would the Rav say? The Rashba smiled gently. Remember that?
Yeah.
So as a 7-year-old kid, he sees the Rambam smiling on his bed, and 65 years later, he sees the Rashba smiling gently in cheer. Wow. I too was delighted and joined in the feeling of joy in the room. I would jump from my bed and run to my mother and cry out in the good news, Mother, Mother! The Rambam won! He beat the Ravid! Father helped him. Look how wonderful my father is. Wow. Anyway, guys, this is amazing. This is an amazing house. Okay. But once in a great while, my father did not succeed, and despite all his efforts, the enemies of the Rambam defeated him. The questions were as strong as iron. Although my father mustered all his strength, he could not save the Rambam from his detractors. Salvation did not come for the Rambam. Deep in thought, my father would lean his head on the palm of his hands on the table. The students and I, and even the Rambam, waited in great tension for my father's words, but my father would raise his head and sadly state, there is no answer. The words of the Rambam are difficult. They say the Rambam shver. No one is capable of resolving these questions. The shiur ended with no explanation. The students were sad, and even my father was depressed. A sense of despair descended upon all of us. I cried. Even the eyes of the Rambam glistened with teardrops. With a broken heart, I would walk slowly to my mother and cry out to her, Mother! Father, can I answer the Rambam? What will we do? He did not succeed today. And my mother would tell me, don't worry. Father will find the answer to the Rambam. And if he does not succeed, then when you grow up, perhaps you will find an answer to the Rambam. Always remember, my son, the important thing about Torah is to study it in happiness and enthusiasm. It is true that this story is part of my youth. It is not, however, the fantasy of a young child or the creation of mystical feelings. This story is an historic and psychological reality that guides me at all times. When I sit down to learn, now he's an adult. The giants of the Masorah are with me. Our relationship is personal. The Rambam sits to my right. Rabbi Natam to my left. Rashi sits at the head of the and explains. Rabbi Natam asks. The Rambam decides the Lacha. And the Ravid objects. All of them with me in my small room, sitting around the table. They look at me with fondness. They work the text out with me and look like a father. They encourage and strengthen me. Learning Torah is not just a didactic, formal, and technical experience whose purpose is the creation and exchange of ideas. Learning Torah is the intense experience of uniting many generations together, the joining of spirit to spirit, and the connecting of soul to soul. Those who emit the Torah and those who receive the Torah are invited to meet one another at the same historic juncture. This was the Rav's life as a kid. We mentioned yesterday, he finished the Minchas Linach by the time he was a bar mitzvah. And as a kid, he's on his bed with the Rambam either less smiling or crying next to him on his bed because of his father's shiur. Unbelievable. So this is the deepest feeling that one should try to achieve. Knei Chochaver, who are your friends? Your Sfarim. You feel you can, they're there with you, you're learning with them, they come to life. It's an amazing thing. Okay. So this is the second part of yesterday's shmuz, what it means to be learning, and the Shekhinah's there, and the Shekhinah's there, yeah, and when you're learning, the people are there. The people, the Rabbanim we're learning are there, and it's your to try to get to that level. And the Rav, I told you, in the Rav Shir, that's how they felt. Rav Shechter says all the time, that's how they felt in the Rav Shir, as if they were sitting there with you, as if Malachi Asharis was sitting there with you. The Rav Shir was so exciting. The Rav gave Shir on Tuesdays and Wednesdays for part of his career. And Kriyas Torah was on Monday and Thursdays. What would Rav Shechter say? On Monday and Thursday we have Kriyas HaTorah. Tuesday and Wednesday we have Kabbalah HaTorah. That's how they felt in the Rav Shir. Okay. That's how I feel listening now to the Rav in English. Fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. And Bezrat Hashem, that's it for now. You got it? Okay.